I'd like the record to show that the scriptures were chosen before Irma was a thing. And no intention of preaching on calamity and whirlwind and disaster this morning. It's always good to be back with you, and I apologize to you for the quality of my voice this morning. My husband and I are, we're taking a new course this semester. It's called Band Parenting 101. And at present, we're getting about a C minus in Band Parenting 101. So I spent all day yesterday at a band competition while I'm fighting off a cold, and that was not a good combination. So I'll do my best. And when I greet you in the back, if you are at all concerned about sharing germs with me, please don't shake my hand. I do not want to give this to you. So I will be there, and I'm happy to speak with you, but let's not touch each other. Would you join me in prayer, please? God, for wisdom, we pray. For the words to say when we need them, we ask that you would give them to us. And help us right now to be able to hear what it is that you had us to hear. Amen. So this is not the sermon I planned to preach today when Scott asked me if I would preach. Knowing that this was a busy week for me, including band parenting, I planned to revive a sermon that I had preached two summers ago. The scriptures for today are the same as that sermon was, but the more I looked at that sermon, the more I knew that it wasn't the sermon that we needed to hear today. It wasn't the sermon that I needed to hear today. And in fact, I'm not sure that there's any sermon that we need to hear today. Because I don't know about you, but lately I have been overwhelmed by words. And the last thing I want to do is to flood your world with even more words today. Everywhere I turn lately, it seems that I hear angry words. I hear words of hopelessness, words that create enemies, words that divide us, and words that hurt the beloved children of God. And I'm convinced that what we need most right now is to stop with all of the words. We just have to stop. We have to stop justifying our position on political issues. We have to stop saying that we're going to pray for someone when we know that we'll forget and we won't do it. We have to stop masking the hurt that other people are feeling with our meaningless platitudes. And we have to stop explaining away the brokenness of other people's lives. See, we have to get our tongues under control. Have you noticed that most of us have absolutely no problem at all sharing our opinions with anyone who will listen? Whether that's about Confederate statues or how long we stay at an amusement park, we feel like our words matter more than anyone else's words. And because of that, our collective speech has become nothing more than sludge through which we must wade every day. We've stopped listening to each other, and I'm convinced that that's because there are so many words. We'd like to rail against the way society is nowadays. We'd like to complain that there's no sense of being polite and there's a total lack of decorum in the public sphere. We want to yell about how it's the fault of social media, and we want to blame parents for raising their children without manners. But when we hear these two texts today, from James and from Proverbs, we see that maybe life really hasn't changed much at all. My biggest obstacle to wisdom is, and always has been, my tongue. For the most part, growing up, I was a pretty good kid. I made good grades. I participated in extracurricular activities. I obeyed my parents. I was respectful of the rules. But oh, my tongue. When I got angry or frustrated, I could fire off a sentence that was as sharp as any sword and as capable of just as much damage. If you've ever raised a teenage daughter, you may remember. To this day, my tongue is my biggest challenge. With the very same mouth that joyously sings worship and prays and preaches from the pulpit, I am capable of crushing the spirit of my own daughter with just a word or two. That very same tongue that utters words of love knows all the more how to slander another in the ways that we speak in anger. I know what will hurt the most. The words that want to roll off of my tongue when I'm angry are not wise. They're filled with frustration and gossip and honestly, a total lack of control. The tongue is powerful, isn't it? I can't tell you how many times in my life I've had to utter words something like, "I shouldn't have said that." And I hope I'm not alone in that. I have a friend, her name is Renee, and she's a hospice social worker. And this week, even as I was thinking about this sermon, she had this to say. There seems to be this theme running through my mind these days. Words. What we say and what we do with words have the ability to heal the spirit of another and ourselves. I've spoken often about the phrase, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." This is perhaps the greatest deception and lie we can tell ourselves or our children and loved ones. What I know is this from experience. What is inside us comes out in words or actions. Our inner world, if untouched, will create crisis and chaos and project the darkness. You can name it, we've all seen it, witnessed it, and done it to self and each other. Love heals. Words spoken in wisdom share unity. Listen to ourselves intently before blasting someone. If we have a safe person where we can vent, that is our best bet. Or go for a walk, or write a letter to someone who has wounded us, but burn that letter, do not send it. It's therapeutic to get out our hurt and our anger. It's called self-care, and it will create space to love ourselves and others while opening up a new way to grow our relationships and work towards reconciliation. Choose love and kind, soft, gentle words wisely. And I told her she could preach my sermon. We live in a world full of words, and we need those words. Without words, we couldn't encourage our children or tell our spouses how much we love them. Without words, we would never be able to express our sadness and our compassion to the hurting. But we have to learn to tame them. We've got to get our tongues under control, my friends. The world tells us to speak out, speak your mind. You have the freedom of speech, use it. But maybe Renee is right. Words spoken in wisdom share unity. I mean, isn't that really what it is that we all crave right now? Just a little bit of unity? I hear it come out in all sorts of different phrases and ways. You hear people say things like, "We need to come together." Black and brown lives matter too. We have to help the hurricane victims. We have to protect our children. Why can't we just get along? We need to stop fighting with each other. And those are just a few of the phrases that people use each and every day to remind us that we're all in this life together. Some of those phrases are harder for me to hear, and some are harder for you to hear. And some of them are just hard. Some of them kind of cause the hairs on the back of our neck to bristle a little bit, and we don't really want to talk about what they're talking about. And some of them cause us to want to get defensive and say, well, but what those phrases are all saying is we need unity. All of the cries for justice in our world are pleas to be seen as fully human in this society. All of the shouting about political authority is a desire to make our country better for everyone who lives in it. All of the angry words on Facebook and Twitter are really about a grief and a sense of loss, some of which might be necessary if we're really going to have unity. Because unity comes at a cost. It means that I give up a little so that you can have a little more. And then you give up a little so someone else can have a little more. Because we're in this together. Nothing is going to get better unless we learn to tame this most vicious weapon that we have. Learning to do that is the beginning of wisdom. I want you to hear an excerpt from the Proverbs passage that was read today, but I want you to hear it from a different translation called The Message. Lady Wisdom goes out in the street and shouts. At the town center, she makes her speech. In the middle of the traffic, she takes her stand. At the busiest corner, she calls out, "Simpletons, how long will you wallow in your ignorance? Cynics, how long will you feed your cynicism? Idiots, how long will you refuse to learn? About face, I can revive your life. Look, I'm ready to pour out my spirit on you. I'm ready to tell you all I know. As it is, I've called, but you've turned a deaf ear. I've reached out to you, but you've ignored me." Lady Wisdom doesn't sound very different from anyone else, does she? But here's what you need to know. This is a different sort of shouting. See, Lady Wisdom here is not blaming the people for being simpletons, cynics, and alternatives. She's offering them an alternative. Lady Wisdom isn't shouting. She's begging. She is pleading with these people, saying, "Look, I'm ready to pour out all of my spirit and all of this wisdom on you." This is the language of a desperate mother trying to rescue her children before it's too late. Lady Wisdom, she is always trying to make room. More are welcome. More people can share in the joy. She's not handing out this tiny portion of wisdom to the already wise and brilliant. No, she wants to pour out this wisdom to even the simpletons and the cynics. Because Lady Wisdom knows that there's a better way. And she wants her children to know it too. Lady Wisdom knows. She knows that unity comes not from us all agreeing on everything. Unity comes when we make room for each person at the table. That's what she's offering. Wisdom in abundance. And see, what I want to do is I want to take this passage and say, yes, yes, I want that. Sign me up. Wash me in the flood of the spirit of wisdom that I may be whole and wise and that there would be peace in this world. And sometimes I do. But I also know that it's really not quite that simple, is it? Lady Wisdom is not a genie. Learning the ways of wisdom require us to listen more and speak less. The writer Henry Nouwen puts it this way. It's so important to choose our words wisely. When we are boiling with anger and eager to throw bitter words at our opponents, it is better to remain silent. Words spoken in rage will make reconciliation very hard. Choosing life and not death, blessings and not curses, often starts by choosing to remain silent, or choosing carefully the words that open the way to healing. I want you to do something with me. We're going to do a little exercise. I want you to find a mostly comfortable position and close your eyes. Now, take a deep breath and try to tune out everything around you except my voice. For a moment, I want you to listen to the spirit that is inside of you. I want you to do a little bit of soul searching. Think for a moment about the person or the people that you listen to best. Is it a news program? Is it someone who lives in your house? Is it a coworker or a friend? Whose voice is it that has the most influence on your life right now? And now I want you to think about this. Whose voice is missing from your life? When was the last time you had a meaningful conversation with someone not like you? A real conversation about real things, not a conversation about the weather or our daily greetings. Who was that person? Was it maybe someone of a different race? A different political leaning, a different age, a different socioeconomic status. And if you can't remember the time, maybe that is the voice that's missing. May we learn when to be silent so that we can hear someone else. May we always choose words of hope and healing, words of wisdom and love. Amen.